What's up? No, can't cross the streams. It's a thing. Yeah, it's they want to keep, make sure that anything is biblical over there, and just in case it's not, I have a different mic, so this one can be, taken aside and prayed for before service, and just in case it doesn't make it in time, we have that one. You know, it's a whole thing. It's a negative if you borrow a church from somebody. You know, you don't have to normally worry about that. No, keep it. So I haven't done this in a long time because I haven't been able to do this in a long time. I actually, just in the last 2 months, decided to go back into ministry. I was very frustrated after my dad died and some stuff with my son. And I'll probably go into some of that in a little bit. But so this is really hard for me. And some of it, the trust for God, I struggle with that these days. You know, I struggle with a lot of these things. And I'm going to be very vulnerable and real when I do today, because that's where I'm at. And I believe that God anointed me. I do believe that God anointed me to speak his word, allowed me to do so. He does have a calling for me, hence why I go back into ministry even though when I'm not feeling it. But I just wanted to be honest of where we're at and where anybody's at any given time, because that's reality. And that's why I have a different mic. Amen. So we're gonna hit these this parable of the 10 virgins. We're gonna hit it 4 different ways. Okay. So yes. First things first. My wife bought me this Bible because I lost mine in New Hampshire at some trip, and this is the Everyman's Bible. Everyman. But apparently the word virgin is too tough for every man. It's a little tough. Not all men can handle that. So I'm going to read from my Bible. It's the parable of the 10 bridesmaid. Okay, all right, because again, this is the men's Bible, and the men were not tough enough to be able to handle what virgins are. All right, so the first way I'm going to address this is without context. One of the things that I do as a Christian is I like to read it as it is, because I believe that this was written and inspired by God. So therefore, if I read it without any other context, just by itself, it should have some sort of impact. So I like to do that first, because I believe that that helps you in purity, because it should be written by a timeless person who doesn't want me to look up the original Greek. It should be good enough, right? Then we'll go into the original Greek and all the other stuff. But I want to start by just basic concept of what it is. So I'm going to read the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids, a.k.a. virgins, who took their lamp and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil from their lamps. That's not orvalet. Or the oil that we use at Olive Garden, apparently. But there were another 5 that were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others reply, "We do not have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself." But while they were gone to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside, calling, "Lord, Lord, open the door to us." But he called back, "Believe me, I do not know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." So again, out of context, be prepared. Learn the same thing from Scar, from Lion King. Different context, but same end result is be prepared. be prepared, because at any time, you can also, without context, you can go, all right, so he's going to show up when you're sleeping. So, always stay awake. Or that when he comes, it could be at any time. What? No, it's just out of context. And that if you were not prepared, he's going to be like, no, I don't know you, bro. Very harsh lesson, but a lesson, right? So that's the out of context version. And that does make sense. You know, if someone's looking into religion for the first time, you know, they need to know that, hey, there is, you know, with a little bit of explanation, someone can explain the oil is the Holy Spirit, and you need to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be in you, and if it's not in you, you're gonna go look for it somewhere else. Why the bridegroom's here, and he's gonna take everybody. He's gonna be like, hey, you were busy doing other stuff. So it is an important lesson out of context. But now let's get a little bit of context. Pyro, we're gonna show a 5-minute video, and then I'll explain why. There's gonna be some blasphemy in here. It'll be great. Don't worry about it. It'll be good. It'll be good. Brace yourself.
My mind is clearer now. At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be. Jesus! You've started to believe the things they say of you. You really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon get swept away. You've begun to matter more than the things you say. Listen, Jesus, I don't like what I see. All I ask is that you listen to me. And remember, I've been your right-hand man all along. You have set them all on fire. They think they found the new Messiah. And they'll hurt you when they find they're wrong. I remember when this whole thing began. No talk of God, then we called you a man. And believe me, my admiration for you hasn't died. But every word you say today gets twisted round some other way. And they'll hurt you if they think you've lied. Nazareth, you're famous son, should have stayed the great unknown, like his father carving wood, it'd have made good. Table, chair, and oaken chest would have suited Jesus best, he'd have caused nobody harm, no one alarm. Listen, Jesus, do you care for your race? Don't you see we must keep in our place? We are occupied, have you forgotten how burdened we are? And our conquerors object to another noisy sect, and they'll crush us if we go too far, if we go too listen, Jesus, to the warning I give. Please remember that I want us to live. But it's sad to see our chances weakening with every hour. All your followers are blind. Too much heaven on their minds. It was beautiful, but now it's sour. Yes, it's all gone sour. Listen, Jesus, to the warning I give. Please remember that I want us to live. So listen, Jesus, to the warning I give. I just want us to live. It's
hello? Ah, it works. So that was Jesus Christ Superstar. So we're going to watch that for the next hour and a half. I just wanted you guys to prepare. It has nothing to do with the 10 virgins. They don't even mention it in the whole play. I really like it, especially the 2000 version. That's my favorite. I like the leather jacket. I mean, I know he's balding, but the Jesus is spot on. He's fantastic. He's very white. A fun fact about that, they didn't want to cast a white Jesus. They actually were looking for another one, but when that guy comes in with that voice, which he didn't sing, so you didn't hear it. But it's very good. So the reason why I play that, for a couple reasons. One, why is Travis randomly playing Jesus Christ Superstar? A, Travis does things like that, so unfortunately enough of you know me that that's not random enough. Two, it talks about, in those verses, Judas is talking about everything that's coming to Jesus, what all the disciples are saying, what all the followers of Jesus are saying. And in Matthew at this time, this is what was happening. Like, everyone's just like 1,000 questions, trying to figure out all the answers as quickly as possible. As he's like, hey, I got other stuff going on. Like, you guys are looking at the wrong things. And he's shouting out parables, and he's trying to explain things. So in context, lots of things going on at the time. He shares this particular parable to let them know they're not prepared for what's coming. This parable is actually heavily debated, believe it or not, in biblical arenas. So some say that this parable has no relevance to our lives at all. It's actually only for the Jews. It was a parable specifically of those who accept the Holy Spirit in them. So the oil is the Holy Spirit. And that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, so if you're Jewish, you're waiting for it, you're going to be then asking a Christian for the Holy Spirit at the end times, and they're going to be like, go buy it somewhere. Oh, no, I gotta go. The most common one that we preach in church is that you always have to be prepared, right? The virgin represents pure. Bridegrooms tend to be, women in the Bible, they tend to be faithful, they tend to be, you know, honest. So these were honest women who are pure in nature. And even though you're honest and pure and your heart is in the right place, sometimes you don't listen to the right signs. Sometimes you are not prepared. And if you're not prepared, Jesus is going to say, I don't know you because you weren't prepared. You went to church. You did all the things, but you didn't really accept him. You know, you lived the Sunday life. You put on the good mask, but you didn't actually do it. And that's the parable that we normally hear in the church of this. And it's fine. And I think it's a great one because there's tons of people live in the church, right? The church worries about all sorts of things, but they don't go to their congregation. Hey, how many people are living in sin? Oh, we don't want to lose congregation members. They're not going to ask that question, right? So these are hard questions, and this is kind of how the roundabout way how the church these days asks these questions. So that's that. So that's context version. Everybody wrapped up on that? All right, third, what I do is I then look at the importance of any parable or anything. So when I look at the importance of this, I look at how the enemy has corrupted it. So this one, and it's really interesting that we're going to Salt Lake City and I'm preaching about this, Church of Latter-day Saints. This is the parable that they use to say that they're the ones who have the oil and the rest of us had the oil. We're going to have to go find it and come back. We're Christians, right? But, you know, we're not great Christians because we didn't believe that Jesus came to America. The Muslims also use this in some of their virgin stuff, but they use it more as a reference of that virgins are cool in their religion. And there was another one that I was going to say, and I just forgot it. But yeah, so the other thing the fourth thing that I do is I, you know, look at that, and I look at it's important. So now I know this is important because the enemy has corrupted it, and the enemy is using it as a weapon. All right, so now I got to go back into this parable, and what do I get from it? All right, cool. I got to be prepared. It can happen at any time. One of the things that stands out to me in this parable that's really, really harmful is that even though they were pure, they were virgins, they fell asleep. They weren't ready. And, you know, it shows me the reflection of the disciples when he's like, hey, has nobody stayed awake with me? You know, regardless of where we're at in our faith, we're always a little behind. And that's scary, right? That's a scary thing, regardless of where we walk. And especially in my walk where I'm like, I don't even feel I can do this anymore. Being a little behind is a little crazy. And then the big one, which is what I'm going to talk about tonight, where I'm going to get a little personal, is, you know, go back, you never knew me. And that's a reference to Matthew 7:21-23. You know, I never knew you. You know, some will come before me. You guys have all that. Most of you guys are Christians. If you don't know that, it's, you know, a pretty common thing. So this is the second time he says, hey, I will reject people who think that they know me. So then the real question is, how do we know Jesus? All right, so we have a book. And just like I said, you know, the book should be good enough, but most people will be like, no. We've got John Derry here. I'm sure he says that only the Church of England book is good, you know. We got the Catholics, and then, you know, where we're at in our life and our walk, you know, I am very frustrated with the Lord because of some events that have happened in my life. So do I know him, right? Do I know this guy? And then I look at, you know, Facebook or any of the social medias, and I see people who claim to represent him, but they are supporting weapons. They're fighting for the Second Amendment. I don't know if God's really about that. That's not the God that I follow. Or he's following, or they're setting up borders, or they're doing a lot of things that are not the person who I see. Is that a big deal? Is it not? Where do we go with these things? Even when we come here, you know, they tell me how to vote. I have a whole list of how to vote. You know, what's going on, whether they're liberal, conservative. Where does that go, and how do we walk amongst that? Because I don't believe that Jesus is like, I only like white Americans who support me. I don't believe that. I don't believe that, you know, I don't believe he hates everyone who's ever had an abortion. I don't believe that. I don't believe that he wants children to starve. I don't believe he wants us unprotected. I don't believe there's all these things. So how do we know who Jesus is? Right? Who do we know? So we've got the book, right? And book gives us an understanding and gives us a connection. But the big key here is, of course, the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to talk about a couple of times recently where I know God was involved and it was negative. Because we always look at the Holy Spirit as a guide and a positive thing. And he's always there The Holy Spirit is there to hide us, to protect us, and to let us know, and to give us understanding. But I believe, I don't believe in coincidences, right? So my car broke down the other day, and I'm sitting there, and I'm walking, and, you know, I have an enemy. That enemy has done some things to my family that I'm not very happy about it. And I really want to fight him. Like, really, like, I'm going to be honest, I want to fight him really, really bad. Like, that's what I want to do. And I look for an opportunity to antagonize him. I break my Christian character every time I see this man. And it's sad to me because I always go home and go, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. But there is something that he's upset me so much. And I saw him, and I got frustrated. I tell my wife, hey, he's here. My wife's like, hey, we can't afford jail payments and the car repairs. And I was like, are you sure? I mean, I think we can. Like, I looked at our budget. I got our savings, you know. You don't want me to fight him because the kids are normally around, you know. But again, so I see this. I walk out. Everything's fine. He's connected to my niece and nephews. And he has a drug problem. And I look into his car, and he has literally, it's 11 o'clock, 10:50, 10:30. He's got a 12-pack of beer in the middle, and it's opened. Okay, so I don't believe in coincidences. So either God let the devil see what happened, or God wanted me to see, hey, it's still bad. Because, you know, you're not in this thing. I have this persona of who he is, you know, and this is confirmation to me to still be worried, to keep my prayer, you know, because, you know, my prayers are, can I fight him? Not, hey, can he get help? So where is that? So that's one example that I want to share. So I know that God knows me because God knew I needed to see that. God, of course, tested me, kind of like the book of Job, to see what I would do, to see if I stayed biblical. And this is the first time I have not insulted him or done anything good. So I did well, and I guess I was rewarded to see beer and get really frustrated. But there's something there, okay? I know that sounds weird, and you're like, what does that have to do with anything? Let me tell you another story, and then I'll wrap it all out, and we'll go to some stuff, and it'll make a little more sense. A year ago, I went to Salt Lake City. I was with my wife, and I was really upset because I have a daughter, and my daughter's out of wedlock. I didn't want my daughter when she was born until, like, the day she was born or a week before. And it's not because I don't love my daughter. I love my daughter with all my heart. But I was 22 years old. I had a one-night stand, and I had a baby. And I dreaded that. I dreaded every day because my life, I was supposed to be a filmmaker, and I was going to be hella successful, and, you know, it was going to be fantastic. And instead, I've got a hell of a great life with my daughter, who is a huge blessing with me, which is a way better thing, and I would choose it every time. Every time in any scenario, in any alternate reality, I will always choose my daughter. But at the time, I was really upset by that, and I couldn't get over that. And when I went to Salt Lake City, I brought that up to Tommy, because Tommy Green, one of the guys who was there, he has a daughter out of wedlock. Oh, well, I think he was married. But he has a daughter, and they have joint separation. He had more kids after that with his wife, who he loves tremendously. I love my wife probably a little bit less than Tommy, just because Tommy's over the top. I mean, I think I love my wife more, but based on Tommy, like, I think he would fight me. And he's in a hardcore band, so I think my wife loves me more than Chrissy loves Tommy, though. So, I mean, I think I got that, so. Anyway, so I go to Tommy, and I you know, talk to him, and I was like, I'm really struggling with Remy coming because I can't get my heart out of this guilt that I want to be so excited about having this baby. And I can't because I have so much guilt because of my daughter. And I prayed that everything was going to be good and that I was going to be able to have a wonderful birth. And we prayed for that. Me and my wife prayed for that, and I shared it with her. And I know it had to hurt. My wife. I know it hurt her to hear that, but I had to be real because I try to be very, one of the things that I try to do, I try to be authentic. I try to be as authentic as I can when I talk to people. And it's hard, and sometimes it's a little brass, especially when I'm not on my game, it's really brass. So I have my son, but right 2 weeks before my son, my dad dies. So I'm grieving, right? the shit is that? So I'm grieving in a worse situation, right? But I have a wonderful son. He's amazing. He makes my days better. But even in the first couple of weeks, I couldn't get up. I couldn't be present because my heart was grieving. And that's where I've been, and that's my walk. But again, looking at the thing, was God there? I do know that God is there. God's part of it. When my dad died, I was able to say things without offending. Because I was hurt. You know, my dad had a drug problem. He died because he had a drug problem. My family had a lot of animosity towards him because he took a lot of money from my grandmother that they thought they were inheritance. And someone like myself, I don't care about money. It's a problem in our relationship. Heather and I are working on it. I just give her money. So there was a lot of animosity, and there was a lot of hurt, and they were trying to deal with it because on one level, there's a small joy, and everyone felt guilty about it in the room. Everyone felt this guilt because their brother died, but they know that leech that was on my grandmother is gone. And how do you reconcile that, right? And my brother is beyond himself because we just lost our mother 2 years ago. But God allowed me to speak about who my dad was. And God gave me some real insight that I never had before. My dad gave me insight that my dad had a lot of shame, and he just couldn't let it go. And that was on him. He just couldn't let it go. That shame was self-endued. You know, if we were gathering this, he's that guy who's always in the parking lot, right? He's always in the parking lot smoking. He'll show up, he'll walk in, shake everybody's hand, but he's always outside dealing with that. So now we fast forward to where I'm at. So there's all this stuff. Again, we go back to, you know, my debates on what are we going, because I'm a very different Christian. I write a book with swears in it. Swears are bad. It says right in this book. I'm not supposed to do it. So will he even know me, right? And it's easy to say, of course, right? It's easy to say, of course, because we believe in this thing called grace. But there's a lot in this book that don't have grace in it. In fact, I would argue the first little bit of it has a lot of lack of grace. Lots of flooding. He gets mad. Like, he gets seriously mad on a regular basis. So I go back to that. And that was one of my first questions when I came to be a Christian, you know. My gift is I have the ability to talk. It's a gift of mine that I've had my entire life. I'm really good at convincing people to things. And so I'm a salesman. I have the gift of gab, and I can talk. I'm very good at putting things together and organizing things. God has given me the gift of prophecy, but not in the typical gift of prophecy. Like, in my business, I can tell you exactly how to make your business successful. Can I always tell you how to do it? Not really. But I can tell you this step will do it. Like, because God's really good like that, and it helps me allow them to grow. So when I come to him, will he know me? Right? Because we're not on the best terms right now. I'm a little frustrated because I really wanted this great time in the beginning. And I'm having a great time with my son. My son is awesome. Have you met him? He's great. His name is Remy. Little. I have an amazing wife. My wife gets mad. She was mad about something last night. She was so mad at things that I'm not even mad about because she looks for injustice in me. And it reminds me of who God is, right? God's getting mad for things that I'm not even mad about. Because he's that faithful. Like, if God loves me half as much as my wife does, like, I'm good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be okay. So I look at all these things about where we stand and does he know us. And it really comes down to the Holy Spirit. And I think it's your personal Holy Spirit. Can you see God in your life, in the bad stuff and in the good? Because it's really easy to see God in the good stuff. A lot of people all the time come to me and tell me, I've got this thing and God is really blessing me right now. We're going on this great adventure. You know, I've got this extra check in the mail that I desperately needed. So it's easy to see God there. And then not the stories that I told, but there's a client of mine who's a brand new Christian. A lot of times when I come to her, she's like, so, Travis, I didn't tithe. And because of that, I haven't had business this week. And I don't know what to do. And I was like, I don't think it works that way. Actually, I know it doesn't work that way. But why do you think it works that way? Well, I went on this, I blessed this mission trip instead of tithing on the church. So you tithed. And we have to go through it. But we can see that. And I remember being that Christian. I remember being that Christian where I could only see God in the good. So when I read this parable, yes, it's good to be prepared. Always be prepared. And always know that God is with you. And always know that you're behind. So you've got to be prepared. You've got to make sure that you hear him and you're there. But I challenge you to really listen for God in the bad, in the things you can't handle, in the situations where you don't see his blessing, because that's where the Holy Spirit is. And if you have the Holy Spirit with you, you are prepared. And you are wise. You are not foolish. Because a foolish Christian is only the one who only sees God in the good. A foolish Christian is the one who is, oh, I can totally be there to help you as long as it's on a Thursday where I'm free and I have this. There's no boundaries to what's going on, to your love, to taking care of each other. You know, don't have those boundaries. I mean, there is boundaries to be made, but that's between you and your pastor and there's all sorts of stuff. But you get what I'm saying. Like, be ready to serve and be willing to serve when God needs you and be able to hear him and allow him to speak through you. And that's what I got. Any questions? So, yeah, I got a little intimate. I got a little passionate. I really thought about this, and I thank Candy for giving it, even though it was Candy just making a joke. God knew it because I wasn't going to pick one because I wasn't ready to preach. I wasn't ready to talk. I wasn't ready to do any of that. And I'm still not. I'm still not good. Like, and I feel hurt by tons of things, by my church, by the little C, big C, by my family, by a whole bunch of things. But that's my hurt. And I'm working through it. And we're all working through it. And we all have hurt that we have to work through together with everybody being together. But again, can I see God? Yes. Can I hear God? Yes. And that's how I know that I'm prepared and that when God sees me. So I ask you, if you don't feel prepared or you don't feel that you're seen or you don't feel that God is speaking to you, talk to somebody. Let them know. Let them pray for you. Let them work through that. Help you work through that. Not them work it out for you. I've tried that. It also doesn't work. All right. I'm going to pray us out. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the gathering today. Thank you for seeing us in our times of need. God, you are a good father. And even though sometimes it's hard to see, God, you were there, you were guiding, you were helping. God, allow us to feel your presence. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak inside of us and speak truth. And know what we feel is safe and what is from you. And what you want us to put our hands to and what you don't. God, there's a lot of voices that speak to us every day. We live in a world where we're supposed to be more connected with social media, but we are further disconnected because we feel if we tell someone that we love them on a Facebook post because it reminded us that it was their birthday, that we are intimate with them. God, remind us to be personal, to be faithful in meeting one-on-one, to allow us to guide each other in community, in fellowship, as you called us to, as you called the church together, because you knew that when two or more are gathered, you would be there. Thank you for those who came out tonight. Blessing and safe travels for those going forward in the next couple of days for travel. God, help us journey and help us get what you need from us. For those behind, have the burdens be light. And for those who are there, help them get insight and hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.